Blog Talk Radio.
Jean-Luc, Geordi Specs, mysteries on the holodecks, asteroids, triple droids, telepathic betazoids, transporter, deadly claw, visitor from L.A. Law, photons, no Kirk, captain has gone berserk, shuttlecraft, Council Troy, Dr. Crusher's little boy, Klingon rights, parasites, new heights, phaser fights, Data's head, Tasha's dead, Riker's hanging by a thread, celebration, transformations, everyone to battle
stations. Next generation on your favorite station. We can start the series, but when we are gone, it'll feel beyond. We can start the series. It's the next generation on your favorite station. We can start the series.
Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to our second episode of Short Trekking. It's a little idea that Eric and I came up with where we're going to watch the Short Trek episodes live, and then we're going to review them and kind of make our own commentary about them and then give you our thoughts. So we're going to be watching it live and talking about it live. We just finished up with Trouble with Edward last week, and tonight we're going to take a look at Q&A. And then we're going to get together a little video. I'll get that posted on our Facebook page, so that if you guys want to watch along with us later on, you can. But right now we're live and we're going to be talking about it right here on the show. And we have with us on the line Janet. How you doing tonight, Janet?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
So you're looking for Ken?
Well, he's the one that told me about this. So I was like, okay, I'll phone in. You know?
No, Ken.
We've known each other from high school, so we're old friends.
I haven't known Ken since high school, but it seems like I have. I've known Ken probably for maybe 30 years.
Oh, okay. That's
25, 26 maybe. I've known Ken for a long time, but not since high school. In fact, I used to be Ken's co-host on his podcast, Masters of Disaster, and he's the one that got me into the whole podcasting thing, and that's why we're here doing Trek Talking, because Ken got me addicted.
All right, there you go. He's our pusher.
It's all Ken's fault. He provides the drugs and I just keep using. So we're going to be talking about the Short Trek Q&A tonight, which is the one where Number One and Mr. Spock are stuck in a turbo lift.
Excited. I mean, I loved it the first time we watched it, and so I'm interested to watch it again and kind of offer some live commentary on the way this time.
It's going to be fun. So Eric and myself are going to start our videos up, and then we're going to dive right in. Are you ready, Eric?
All right. I got her queued up.
3, 2, 1, hit her. Okay. So the credits are rolling and Discovery is flying by.
There she goes. Ah,
Q&A.
Even in the drawing, she's beautiful.
Love it. I love it. So this episode opens up. This is actually the earliest that we've ever seen of Mr. Spock. Actually.
Absolutely. And we're going to find out here in a minute that, or at least our supposition is that he's actually maybe replacing the woman that we saw in the last episode, Trouble with Edward, as the science officer on the NCC 1701.
Yeah, I think they put these backwards. I think that Trouble with Edward should have been first. I like this scene where we actually get to see the inside of the transporter and the decontamination. And I also like that this is the first time technically ever seen Spock. I reacted. If you listen carefully, you'll hear the classic Star Trek song play when Mr. Spock beams to the Enterprise.
Absolutely. And then the next scene here. Yeah, and the next scene here, we've got him materializing right in front of Number One, who's doing some dictating to her pad. And she comes over and listens to him introduce himself. And he's just like he is in the cage with his over-enthusiasm. He kind of introduces himself, and then she says, no need to shout, Mr. Spock.
And if you notice, on her pad, her name is Una. We kind of
officially canonized. Yep.
It's right there on the pad, so her name is Una.
It's the first time it's ever actually been on screen officially. So there you go. It's not just in the books anymore. So here they are walking down the corridor. Yeah, I love the look of it. The colors look amazing in high definition. I think that's one of the things that's really different about watching Discovery is you get the same ship, but you get it in high definition, so you get to see so much more detail.
And I also love the inside of the turbo lift, how she reaches over for the handle in order to activate it. And this scene with the inside, which they took from Discovery, I really like the fact that they show you turbo lift works and that there's all these cars in waiting and that it's actually a bit interesting, not just an elevator.
Yeah, I'm a little mixed on the graphics of it. I think if they move the camera around a little less, it might be more interesting, but it is a really cool way to think about how these things move around inside the ships.
Yeah, because in Star Trek, but we know that turbo lifts actually, like this right here, they go in multiple directions. And if you look in the background, you can see all the cars waiting to call them.
Yeah, you sure can. Yeah, and isn't it funny that this turbo lift breaks down and, you know, you expect things to break down every now and then, but they really are stuck here. They can't go anywhere.
No. Nope. And number one is still asking Spock for questions. And he does, and he will, and they do.
Well, it's funny because eventually here they say, you know, people don't really talk in elevators, and then they're forced to talk in elevators. And so really, I think one of the magical parts of this episode is the fact that it forces a social interaction between two people who wouldn't normally want to interact very much because they're both introverts. You know, they both kind of want to keep to themselves. And here they are forced into a situation, but they're both recognized that they're both incredibly smart and that they might have something to talk about.
And I like how she, if you listen to their dialogue here, I like how she mentions that Captain Pike has something. If you remember the cage, he has the sugar in his pocket for the horse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. That is a good mention. I hadn't actually caught that. Yeah. Yeah, good idea.
This episode takes place way before the cage as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I don't remember. We calculated how many years at one point on the show. I'll have to go back and look at that again. I don't remember.
Well, I think it's great that we get to see a relationship between number one and Spock because it would only make sense that they would because they're both walking computers.
Well, and you know, we all know now too that in the original, you know, version of Star Trek, it was Una who fulfilled that role of trusted confidant to James T. Kirk. Had many of the same qualities that they then eventually would pass on to Spock in kind of the reiteration that Gene Roddenberry, you know, had to reimagine for the network to get it on the air.
Yes, he took number one's intelligence and gave it to Spock, which I think worked out very well. And I love this conversation where Spock asks her if he thinks the Prime Directive is bad.
Yeah, and you know he suggests that he thinks that there are moral problems with it, which is kind of interesting because I think that is some of the territory that we're going to be heading into, particularly with Picard. And maybe where the state of the Federation is at that point.
And then, of course, he asks the most important question of all, do you like eggplant? And we never get answers, so we don't know if she does or not.
We know she likes cheeseburgers and fries, but it's kind of funny how Spock is able actually to eventually wear her down mentally. You can tell she's sitting there rubbing her head and she kind of rolls her eyes at him, and then she decides, you know what, let's take some action. Let's pop the hatch on this can, see if we can't get out of this turbo lift compartment.
And when she asks Spock to boost her up, to grab her, she's like, oh, no, get on your knees. And this scene right here, the scene where she's up looking in the turbo lift, and which is coming up here, I love the look on Spock's face. He's like, what the hell did I get into? They're talking about this star or whatever it is. And she's fooling around with the circuitry and has a little short circuit. That's a homage to Five, when Kirk and Spock are trying to escape from the brig on the Enterprise, and Kirk is on Spock's shoulders just like this, and causes a short circuit, and Spock drops him.
Yeah, like it's that. Fantastic. I think that's one of the things that Discovery has been able to do, is it does give you these little homages every now and then, and if you're an old school Trekkie, you get them. I love that they both kind of get knocked down here. They're laying in a twisted pile, you know, and then they wake up and they're like, oh, now what do we do?
And I really like what they're able to do with these short treks, because they're able to give up things that necessarily fit into an episode that would be kind of awkward in an episode, but in a short trek like this, they get away with 14 minutes of two characters in a turbo lift.
Yeah, and it's interesting because this one plays out a little differently from some of the previous ones. This one is the first one that really is just one extended scene. I mean, you get a little bit of lead up at the beginning and you get a little bit of outro at the end. But the middle 80% of this episode is all inside the turbo lift. And so I almost imagine this as a stage play, sort of. This could be a two-person play where they come out and do a 15-minute with this exact dialogue. And it would work really, really well. I think that's one of the reasons I like this episode, is I really like theater. And I feel like this one has a lot of kind of aspects of theater to it.
Yeah, Discovery, short treks are able to do things and show us things that normally didn't. And with this short format, they're able to do this. And I think that's one of the treks. And this particular scene here, letting your freaky out, is spectacular, because this scene right here has several homages to several other scenes that we've seen. One in particular, Captain Picard is stuck in a turbo lift on an episode of TNG, and he sings the same exact song.
He does.
As they crawl out of the turbo lift and climbing up the ladder on the inside of the turbo shaft. And of course, I think the one scene that most people would remember the most is from Insurrection, when they're trying to capture Data, and Worf and Picard are singing on the shuttlecraft. And they're singing that song to Data to try to talk them down. So, singing is not something that we have not seen on Star Trek. And there's other instances of it besides those two. But so this whole scene is an homage.
Yeah, and it's cool because so that ties into the theater thing that I was just saying. And in this scene, or in this part of the scene, this is when they really bond, because this is when they both realize that they both have freaky, and that they have to keep their freaky hidden 100% of the time to the outside world. But it's almost like a little moment when they get to share that with each other. And Spock, in terms of his development as a half Vulcan, half human, and where his emotions are going during this discovery period, I feel like this is a great way to kind of celebrate the fact that he is not just this logical computer all the time.
And I love that smile on Spock's face.
I know. Me too. It's so great because he's so serious the whole episode. And then every once in a while, you get these little tinges that push their way through. And, on Discovery, they've been able to kind of discover Spock's middle period that was missing between the little bit that we know about his childhood and his adulthood. And this is a perfect example of the sorts of things that molded him as the person that he is. And Una plays strongly into
and
that as we
look at the
so cool.
Look at the turbo shack.
I know.
His
like
car is all over the place.
Yeah, it's so cool.
And Spock.
I love these
Spock
graphics.
And of course, my man crush. Oh, I'm swooning. I love Pike.
Oh, there he is. The silver fox.
He is so awesome. Awesome. Awesome.
Love
and
the bridge
I love
of that Enterprise, man. So beautiful. I love the view screen and just everything they did with that design. It looks so cool.
And I love this little moment that they share, because number one says, I don't know if that is a spot. And Pike looks at her like, oh, come on. I don't believe that at all. And she says, that's Mr. Spock. And then this technically is the first time that Spock and Meteor is right here. We're
seeing it. Yep. Yep. And obviously he's read his file, so he knows who he is. And for Una to be that aloof about not knowing Spock is not in character.
And I love Pike. I'm sorry. I love Pike.
You love the way he talks and the way he looks into the distance stoically. I understand, Jim. I understand.
He's just, you know, he's the perfect cap. I mean, he's better than Picard. Yeah, I said it.
Oh, no. Well,
I said it.
Yeah.
So
I'm not going to go there yet.
In memory of Robert Chabon. And if you guys, there's a Facebook article that I found and I posted on our Facebook page where Michael Chabon wrote this episode when he was sitting next to his father in his hospital bed dying, and he was imagining what his father would say as Spock, and that it gives a whole other meaning to this episode if you read that article.
When I read that article, I got chills. I just thought, oh my gosh, what an homage to somebody he obviously felt a lot of respect for, and to have that kind of emotional gravity written into the show. I think even if you didn't read that article, you'd feel it a little bit. It's in there. It's in the writing and it's in the acting.
So, what did you think about Q&A overall?
Honestly, Q&A is my favorite Short Trek to date. I absolutely love the development of the Spock character. I really liked how Rebecca Romijn has also filled out the number one character. And to have those two come together and be the stars of a single episode together, and to show how they really have a lot of synergy, in terms of them both being trusted confidants of Pike and, Kirk. Not Una later with Kirk, but how that kind of transfers through her to Spock into Kirk. I just think it's a really interesting story to explore. So I absolutely love Q&A. I think any Star Trek fan who wants to know more about Spock and why he is the way he is when we see him, not only in TOS, but throughout all the movies, you got to see Q&A to really understand it.
I agree that this was really one of the, I've enjoyed all the Short Treks, but up to this point, I really liked Calypso, and I'm waiting to see how that's going to tie into Discovery Season 3. But this Short Trek really gave us a lot of insight into the character of Mr. Spock and really, we didn't know much about number one. You know, Major Barrett Roddenberry played her originally in The Cage, and that was the only time we ever saw that character. So, see that character coming back again. This is what, the third time we've seen this character? Fourth time?
Something like that. Yeah, I think she was in three or, it might be the fifth time, but yeah, not very many times, but more than ever before.
I think it's great. I think I agree with you completely. Rebecca's playing an excellent number one, and Mr. Spock, Ethan Peck, just nailed the Spock character. And this episode, the Short Trek Q&A, absolutely a thumbs up from me. I can't. And Pike is in it, so what more do I need to say?
Your man crush.
So
does our caller think about it? Have you seen Q&A?
Nope, she disappeared.
She dropped out. Oh, okay. Okay.
Yep. I was going to talk to her about it, but she disappeared.
Okay.
But anyways, that wraps up our Short Trekking on Q&A. And I've had a really good time watching it and chatting about it with you, Eric. And
yeah,
it's
really cool.
We're going to do the next one, actually, will be the new one. Have Not, I think it's called, which actually is about Captain Pike. That one will be on Thursday night. So on Tuesday, when we get together and do this Short Trek, and again, it will be a brand new Short Trek we'll be talking about. And I think after that, we're going to start moving backwards. There's four more after that. And I think we'll just move backwards from until we get to the first one. And then maybe we'll go into the episodes or something. I don't know. I'm having a good time doing this. I'm enjoying this. It's a lot of fun. So
yeah, this is a good way for both of us to kind of get our thoughts out about the episode in a different way. I like the live format because it really keeps the pace going. And I think there are interesting things to kind of notice in the moment that maybe we haven't noticed before in the past.
Yeah, I mean, watching it on my couch with Jamie is one thing, but watching it and talking about it live is a different thing. And I think it gives our listeners an opportunity to feel what we're feeling as we're watching it at the same time. I really like this format. I think we'll have to see if we can get Charles to join us. Maybe we can move it to a different day or something and get Charles on, and the three of us can bounce ideas off each other while we're watching it live.
Yeah, and like I said last week, we'd love to hear from our fans either on Facebook or any of the various social medias. We'd love to know if you guys like this. We love doing it, so hopefully you like listening to it. And feel free to go ahead and send us any comments.
Yeah, I think it's a unique idea, which is why I really wanted to do it, because we do review these things on Trek Talk, but we do it as a group, and we're not watching it as we're doing it. We're doing it like after the fact. The only time we did something remotely like this is when they dropped all those Star Trek trailers on us all at one time. And we talked about Picard and Discovery Season 3. And I just said, hey, guys, let's do something now. And we did it right then and there. That's the only closest thing we've done to a live interaction besides this. And I like it. Yeah. I want to keep on doing it. I think it's a lot of fun. And I think the fans are enjoying it as well, because the numbers are pretty good for these short trekking episodes. So we've only done one, but between this one and the Discovery/Picard trailer, which was our highest downloaded show so far, I think people like it. So I think we should keep doing it.
Let's do it.
Absolutely. And let's not forget that tomorrow night, Wednesday, I'm going to be doing a review on Terminator Dark Fate. I went to see it over the weekend, and I can't wait to share my opinions and thoughts with you guys about that movie. And Jamie might even be joining me for that, so I won't be talking to myself. So if you want to know what I thought about Terminator, if you're thinking about seeing it, tune in tomorrow night and see what I thought. Maybe I can help you make that decision a little bit easier. And Thursday night on Trek Talk and Beyond, oh my God, we're going way beyond. Trek Talk and Thursday night is going to be the Star Wars show. We're going to go back and revisit all the Star Wars movies, including Rogue One and Solo. And, of course, we're going to review The Mandalorian, which just premiered tonight. We're going to talk about that as well. So it's going to be all Star Wars. Well, we are going to do our Star Trek birthdays and around the globe and the usual stuff that we do. But after that, it's going to be all Star Wars. So if you're a Star Wars fan and you want to give us a call and share your thoughts, 646-668-2433 is a number. We absolutely would love to hear from you. We're going to be sharing, our favorite thoughts, our favorite moments from Star Trek. I'm sorry.
Star Wars. It's going to be hard not to do that. But, this is the reason that we kept the Beyond part of the name when we redid the logos. The Beyond part's important.
That's right. We talk about Doctor Who, Star Wars, Star Trek. We even were doing the Orville. We're open to all kinds of stuff. I'm going to be talking about Terminator tomorrow. So not just Star Trek. So you guys want to tune in for that if you're a Star Wars fan. I think it's going to be fun. I think that we have a lot of varying opinions. I know mine is a lot different than what our other co-hosts think about it. So it's going to be interesting to see what everybody thinks and where we all fall on the Star Wars spectrum. So that's going to be Thursday night. And with that, Eric, I've been out shoveling snow and chopping ice all day. I'm really sore. I want to go lay down and rest.
That's so brutal.
I'm getting old. I'm getting too old for this.
I'm so sorry to hear.
Luckily, got close to a foot up at Saranac Lake. I can't imagine that. I've had a lot of fun chatting with you, Eric, and I can't wait to do this again. Next week, we'll be doing the brand new Short Trek Ask Not. So
thanks
for talking with me tonight, Eric, and thanks for calling, Jennifer. It's too bad you hung up before we could really get a chance to chat, but it was great to have someone call and talk with us. That's always fun. And we're going to do this all again next week. So thanks a lot, Eric, and we'll see you on Thursday for Trek Talking and Beyond, the Star Wars edition. Have a good night, Eric, and thanks for hanging with me.
Good night, Jim. We'll see you soon.
All right. Good night.
Let's see what's out there. Engage.